This is The Windmills of Your Mind, a Star Trek reboot fanfic written by Alpha Hydra, read by Rena Jenkins. Story is rated R and contains some spoilers for both the Star Trek reboot movie and mentions of Tarsis IV, pairing Spock Kirk. Jimmy is 6, and all he wants is a name. The kid is new to class, and they all make fun of him because of his weird hair and weird eyebrows and weird ears. Also his clothes. But Jim thinks they're kinda cool. And it's that, more than anything, that gets Jim's attention. The kid reminds Jim of the pictures he sees in the books Mom keeps in the library. Of those big pyramid things built like a million years ago, but are still around. And he knows it's kinda creepy, so he won't tell the kid once he knows him. But they are totally alike. Like, old, except not really old. Like, there's just so much information there. And Jim's never thought learning could be fun. But this kid makes him think that maybe it wouldn't be so bad to learn a few things. Or something. He's not too sure. Thinking about it too much makes his head hurt, because he doesn't think he knows the right words to talk about what he feels. So he just leaves it alone. The point is that he thinks they could be friends because he's tough and doesn't cry when those other boys push him into the dirt and call him pointy ears or something dumb. And all he wants is a name. His name is Spock. Jim's 9, and the numbers are eating away at his brain. Spock and him are doing elementary algebra, and Jim's never thought math could be interesting until Spock showed him it could be. Now all he cares about is solving these weird equations that have letters in the places where numbers should be, and watching Spock's eyebrows shoot up when he gets the right answer. Most times, Spock comes over because he says that Mama Spock. Spock keeps telling Jim he shouldn't call her that, but the first time he had, Mama Spock had laughed so hard she nearly cried, kissed the top of his head, and had given him a cookie. So, yeah. Well, Mama Spock is gone a lot, and that just leaves them to be watched by Mr. Sarek. Jim's not ashamed to say that Mr. Sarek scares the bejesus out of him. So they go over to Jim's house and pretend to do the homework their teacher gave them, but really just pull out their secret pads and work on the secret algebra that his mom doesn't know he likes. So Spock comes over, and they do math. And before the year's over, they've gone on to pre-cal, and Jim starts dreaming about numbers. So he makes them take a break from it and shows Spock his favorite book of all time. It's an old-fashioned book made out of real paper and ink. And when he shows it to Spock, the kid's eyes go wide, and he holds it super serious in his hands, like he's holding something worth millions of credits. Finnegan's Wake, he reads, and looks up at Jim with barely concealed excitement. What is it about? No clue, is what Jim says, and smiles so wide it feels like his mouth might jump off his face. But it's super awesome. You can read it, like, over and over again, and it doesn't even feel like homework. Fascinating, Spock says. And so they spend the rest of the year reading it and trying to persuade each other that, no, it's the most awesome book ever written. And, yes, this book is a prime example of what is illogical and should not be nearly this interesting. It's Jim's 12th birthday, and he kind of hopes that Spock won't come by. He wouldn't mind so much if it was just the two of them, but everyone's home this year, and he doesn't want Spock feeling awkward when things start going bad. He knows Spock would just say that he is Vulcan and doesn't feel awkward, but Jim knows that even Vulcan logic can't prepare him for the way his mom and Sam cry, and the way Frank drinks and shouts. He stopped caring ages ago that they don't remember his birthday so much as they remember his dad's death. But when Spock does show up at his window in the middle of the day, he can't say that he isn't happy. He climbs out, and no one shouts for him to get back into the damn house. So they run off to the city, and Spock buys him ice cream and Shakespeare and The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And Jim realizes that he kind of really loves Spock. They walk around the only mall in the whole city later, and Jim bites his lip before he says, "Thanks, Spock. and quickly taps his fingers against the other boys. Spock's ears go green in a flash, but he's smiling and looking down at the floor, so he thinks that maybe it's okay. "Happy birthday, Jim," Spock answers, and leans over to give Jim a quick peck on the lips. Jim smiles so wide his cheeks hurt, and he doesn't care if he's turning scarlet or that they should have been home like an hour ago because it's getting dark. Spock smiles at him again. Twice in one day, that's gotta be a record. And the entire world feels perfect. He's 14 when Spock leaves. Something about rituals and diplomacy and stuff they'd learned about in school but Jim never really cared about. Now all he knows is that Sarek is taking Spock somewhere that sounds a lot like really fucking far away, and there's not a damn thing either of them can do about it. Spock tries to tell him that it won't be too long, maybe a year or two tops, but Jim doesn't really believe it. It's like Sam all over again, shouldering his bag and hot-wiring Frank's hoverbike, pretending to smile even though Jim could see something ugly in his fucking eyes. So Jim squeezes his eyes shut and nearly tackles Spock with the force of his hug, clutching him tight around the neck because he couldn't with Sam. "Don't leave me here alone," he whispers, and it comes out choked and desperate, and Spock tightens his grip on Jim's back so tight he almost has trouble breathing. "I do not mean to," Spock says, and one of his hands come up to ghost across Jim's face, and he's not alone. A year goes by, and still, it's hard when Spock is so far away. Far enough away that he's only a whisper in Jim's mind sometimes, a feeling of disapproving eyebrows somewhere in his brain. He gets angrier and reckless, and school isn't nearly half as fun as it was before, so he stops trying and doodles quantum equations in the margins of his test instead of working out the algebra he'd learned nearly 5 years ago. Your grades are important, Jim, Spock says in his brain, and Jim rolls his eyes around the happy bubble in his chest when he hears Spock's voice.
How did this stuff ages ago?
Jim thinks at him, and also, What's going on over there? You haven't thought of me in almost a week.
I was meditating.
And Spock sends him regretful feelings, along with some of vague distaste.
It was necessary to strengthen my telepathic abilities.
Cool, Jim thinks. And he can tell that Spock is still raising an eyebrow at him hundreds of light years away. So he sighs and fills out his test in 5 minutes flat.
I miss you. I miss you too.
At 17, he finally gets the fuck out of that house. Mom's off planet for another 6 months, and Jim can't take it anymore. Can't take Frank shouting and drinking and throwing shit anymore. So he hacks into his government documents and pulls his mom's fingerprints from it, uses them to electronically submit his application to join the new colony at Tarsus IV. Leaves in the dead of night without so much as a fuck you to Frank, sleeping passed out on the living room couch. Spock expresses some concern in the back of his mind. Or maybe it's just his conscience. It's getting harder and harder to tell which feelings he makes up and which feelings are actually Spock's. But at that, Spock's disapproval rings sharp in his ears, and his voice in Jim's head is stronger than ever.
I do not appreciate you confusing me with your illogical feelings,
he says, kind of angry, but mostly teasing, and Jim cracks his first smile in days.
Sorry, he thinks. It's just easy to forget you're real sometimes, you know?
Yes, Spock says softly, and sends him an image this time, of Spock gathering Jim up in his arms and holding him close.
I know.
Jim chokes back a sob at the feeling that mental image evokes in them both, and it's only when he nearly swerves off the road when Spock finally lets the image fade.
Where are you going?
And so Jim has to tell him, even as he parks and finds a seat in the shuttle, that maybe it's not home because it's not where Spock is, but Jim can't fucking take it anymore, and maybe it'll at least be easier somewhere off-planet. Spock listens to him quietly, then reads him ancient Vulcan poetry. when he says he doesn't want to talk about it anymore. And Jim can't understand a word of it, but can also understand it perfectly because Spock is reading it and he knows what he's talking about. Two years at Tarsis IV, and it all goes to shit. The crops are failing, and Jim does the math in his head, wrapping the numbers like a blanket around him to dampen some of his feeling because he can't let Spock know how angry he is and how betrayed he feels or how hungry he really is. But even if every colonist only eats one meal every other day, it's still not enough to last even to the winter. And so Kodos makes this big announcement, and Jim shifts through the bullshit and sees a murderer pretending to govern the colony. So he takes whoever he can convince with him and runs. The only good thing about that is that he meets an empath girl when they're staying alive in the woods, and she shows him how to conceal his thoughts from Spock. But if anything, now he's really got Spock's attention. And after a couple of weeks, he can feel Spock actively trying to break into Jim's mind, banging desperately against the shields Jim put up because he can't let Spock see him like this. He can't see how skinny he's gotten or how tired he is. And then help comes, and Jim can finally close his eyes without scaring himself half to death. And the second he's shown to one of those medical bays, he knocks out for nearly two whole days. He wakes up with a pounding headache. So hungry it nearly rips him apart, and Spock in his head again. And he's not just mad, he's fucking furious. There's a whirlwind of emotions that aren't his own spinning through his system. Worry and relief and regret and desperate fear, all of them threatening to get swallowed up by anger. He can feel Spock trying to form a coherent thought to send to Jim, and when he finally does, it's softer than what Jim expects.
You are not allowed to do this to me again. Do you understand me, Jim? You will not leave me in such a manner again.
Jim sends Spock a mental smile, and he guesses it must show on his face, because suddenly there's lights shining in his eyes, and a man's gruff voice is saying,
"I don't know what you have to be smiling about, kid. You're lucky to even be breathing."
Jim sits up weakly. And Spock's voice in his head tells him it would perhaps be most precautionary to set Jim on an IV regimen until he is able to process solid foods. "Hey, Doc, got any meat? I'm starving," is what he actually says. And Spock stops acting like his mom and a Vulcan to sigh in an exasperated way. "The voices in my head say I'm in need of nourishment." The doctor shakes his head and jabs something into the side of Jim's neck.
"This has gotta be some kind of punishment," he mumbles. "My first time off planet and first patient I treat, nearly dead and batshit crazy."
He turns back to Jim and points a finger at him threateningly.
"You are not eating anything solid for at least 2 weeks. Got that? And if I hear a single whisper about you tricking someone into giving you anything so much as some soup, I will put you into a chemically induced coma until I think you aren't in danger of keeling over. Now, who's your emergency contact?"
"I'm 19, he protests. But the doctor pointedly eyes his hypospray. Jim crosses his arms because no fucking way is he spilling his life story to this southern nutcase. "Amanda Grayson," he finally says, hoping like hell she remembers him. Spock protests in his mind that, "Of course she will remember you, Jim. I doubt anyone will be capable of forgetting you." "She is my friend's mom." The man jots the name down, and Jim gets the first urge to tell the guy that she's actually his kind of mother-in-law, just to see how deep the doctor's scowl can get. The thought makes something warm and fuzzy slip into his mind from Spock. Soon enough, he hears, and Jim thinks that he can't wait to shout that from the heavens. Mama Spock is just as awesome as Jim remembers. She sees him waiting for her in the shuttle bay and sprints toward him, wrapping him in a hug when she gets there. And after that, it's just a matter of paperwork and a few phone calls to influential people both Sarek and herself know, until it's all legal and Jim is staying in Spock's house on Vulcan, trying really hard not to let it show that he's hot and still hungry, and that Vulcan's higher gravity isn't helping his weakened state. But mostly, He is hiding that he's fucking terrified.
Spock is waiting for them when they get inside, standing by the door with his hands behind his back. He nods to his mother, who smiles softly at them both and leaves with a weak excuse about dinner. Jim looks up from where he's been studying his shoes, staring at Spock. Real, incarnate Spock, just a few feet away from him. He is different, but also inarguably the same, with the same cool eyebrows and cool ears and even the same cool expression that Jim used to wonder about. But now he doesn't have to, because he can feel Spock's heart breaking from what feels amazingly like love, and when he opens his mouth to say something, he just ends up taking a few deliberate steps and kissing him instead. They stay like that forever, it seems, with Spock's hands gripping his waist so tight he'll leave bruises, and Jim running his hands through Spock's kind of ridiculous but mostly endearing hair. He can feel whispers of Spock's thoughts, just incoherent babbles around the heat and love and
what you missed, you dreamt of this since we first parted.
They join Starfleet on what Jim figures is his 21st birthday. It's tedious to keep track of Earth's orbit and match it to Vulcan's, and he's pretty sure there was a leap year last year, so his calculations were fucked up since February. But whatever, they joined Starfleet because Spock wanted to, and as much as Jim loves it on Vulcan, he really just wants to see some snow again. So they enlist, and Jim gets a kick out of seeing that doctor again. Leonard something, but Jim's gotten to calling him Bones. And sticking him in a room with Spock to watch them argue like a pair of philosophy major college kids. And he remembers what it was like to have Spock with him in school, because he is actually challenged by Spock and wants to live up to those ridiculously high standards the Vulcan sets for him. They fight for the top seat in their class all throughout Command Trek, and they graduate with nearly spotless records. Well, Spock's is spotless. Jim has that whole Kobayashi Maru thing on his permanent record that Spock is still kind of mad about. But the point is, they graduate, and Spock's eyes shine when he kisses Jim out in the shade of the USS Enterprise, filling Jim's mind with,
"Your ship, that is your ship, and when it is constructed, we will sail through the universe together. And it'll be awesome,"
Jim finishes for him. Spock presses closer and lets out a breath that is almost a laugh.
Yes.
The end.